The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
I love to travel. I'm from Australia. I lived in the US, the UK, Asia. Let's talk about travel, Manisha.
You got a lot of air miles.
I sure do.
In 2019, the travel and tourism industry in Asia Pacific witnessed growing uncertainty amidst significant economic volatility and geopolitical tensions.
The Singapore Tourism Board also noted a decline in tourist spending in Singapore in the first half of 2019, highlighting ongoing risk and uncertainties in the global economy as one of the reasons.
Despite a positive outlook for the near future, developments such as the recent collapse of Thomas Cook and ongoing geopolitical disturbances have led industry players to be cautiously optimistic.
So, how can the travel industry ensure growth going into 2020? We have in the studio Matthew Zatto. He's Vice President of Tourism Asia Pacific at Adara, which provides predictive traveler intelligence. Good to see you, Matthew.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You're originally from San Francisco. You've been in Asia for something like a decade or more, but recently, the Singapore Tourism Board noted a decline in tourist spend in Singapore of 4.8% in the first half of 2019. That's quite concerning. How do you think Singapore's tourism industry has done overall when we look back on 2019? And how does that compare to previous years?
Yeah, I think that if we look at Singapore as a destination, if we look back over the last decade, they've had phenomenal growth. Actually, the largest quarter rivals in history actually came from the third quarter of 2019, so 4.9 million arrivals. We did see that tourism receipt has declined in Q1 specifically, 4.8%. I think that was largely due to economic uncertainty. People have bought their trip to Singapore. They arrive, they realize, okay, well, it's looking a little bit dicey. I'm going to keep my wallet in my pocket. So I think that we've seen that. Not to mention that if we look at breaking up what tourism receipt spend is, how they measure that, one of those would be accommodation. We've seen a big supply increase in the lower tier in Singapore, so it's actually a more affordable destination. So we're getting more budget travelers considering Singapore. So that's where we can see kind of that discrepancy in data. If we look at a little deeper into the data, that we see shopping has actually increased over those quarters. So in different parts of the tourism economy, we're seeing some bright lights.
So that's really interesting. I'm fascinated by the idea of we're attracting a different sort of a customer, and that's then having its follow-through impact on the economy. Why do you think shopping was on the rise?
It's a good question. I wouldn't be able to really elaborate on that, but I think if you kind of break up how they identify tourism receipts, you know, there are different areas where we see improvements. We see others where a significant portion of the budget for travel would be accommodation. So that would be weighing heavily.
Okay. There's been a really incredible story in the news this week about a mayor of a town, a small alpine town in Austria, who is trying to dissuade tourists from coming to his town because there's just too much tourism. And they've ended up with sky-high prices and the locals aren't very upset and there's litter everywhere. But it's partly because this town looks like Arendelle from Frozen. So there's got the Frozen effect. It was also featured in a South Korean TV serial. And there's a Chinese city a Chinese town that was built to look like this alpine town. So it's attracted a lot of Asian visitors because of its sort of other ways that this place has been portrayed. And he's actually saying, don't come. So my question on that note is, have we seen a sort of turn down in 2019 of the Crazy Rich Asians effect? And was there a Crazy Rich Asians effect?
Yeah, actually, we put together a study to show the increase in demand that Singapore was able to generate off the back of Crazy Rich Asians. So it was a wildly popular film in the U.S., and so we did a lot of analysis on what the increase in flight searches and hotel searches was to Singapore, and it was substantial. So there was double-digit growth in demand just from that movie. So certainly this type of media has a big impact on generating interest for travel to a destination. But I think that to your point about over-tourism, I think that over-tourism is probably a dirty word that we tend to try not to say. We think it's a mismanagement of tourism.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, you know, being able to identify, yeah, that some destinations have an extreme high season and then also a really precipitous low season. So how can we kind of even out that, you know, the arrivals, through the course of the year. I think being able to really dive into the data, understand which markets are more prone to travel during these months or go to these particular destinations or these particular attractions, how do we spread this out more evenly? How do we disperse the travel so that everybody has the, you know, sees the benefit of the tourism economy?
We're speaking to Matthew Zatto, the Vice President of Tourism Asia Pacific at Adara, which provides predictive traveler intelligence. So trend was down for Singapore in 2019, but what about the rest of ASEAN and this region? How are they doing?
Yeah, you see some ascendant players in the region. So Vietnam has seen substantial growth. If you look at Indonesia, over the last 5 years, they've really made a big investment to their tourism industry. So big infrastructural projects, big promotion spends from the tourism board, and they've actually taken tourism as the fourth largest sector of their economy back in 2015 to now the largest. So yeah, there are some big competition for Singapore in the region. But if we look at some of the geopolitical issues that we're seeing, some of the social unrest that we've got in, say, Hong Kong, year over year, they're down 40%. And so Singapore is capitalizing on that downturn in arrivals to Hong Kong. Singapore is now looking like a more attractive destination for travelers.
We were talking about the Asia Pacific region just before, and we talked about how Hong Kong receipts are down sharply. And actually, that's been a bit of a benefit for Singapore. Of the countries that are doing well, though, and you talked about Indonesia, and you talked about the build-up in infrastructure, are there some other potential countries that we should look out for that are beginning to invest more?
Yeah, I think Japan, there's a really great story in Japan. Over the last 11 years, they've gone from 6 million international arrivals a year to now, I think, about 30 million, the top 30 million for 2019.
It's a massive jump.
Massive jump. And if you look at last year, Rugby World Cup was a big success, especially for the rugby countries. We released a study that showed how kind of late on, you know, those fans from Australia and from the UK, as their team had been progressing through the group stages onto, you know, the knockouts, that there was, you know, just a big spike in interest and people flying over kind of last minute to go attend the event. So that was a huge success. And now moving into 2020, the Summer Olympics, Japan is really gearing up to have a big event here.
Although I was saying earlier in the show, I know anecdotally, I know a friend who's booked to go to the Olympics and they're going to be there for the 2 weeks, but they can't find accommodation. They're really stuck.
Yeah, that's something that they knew they were going to run into in the last couple of years. And there's stories of people, you know, starting Airbnb, you know, accommodation for their flat in downtown Tokyo. People, actually offices vacating to allow like a makeshift hostel to accommodate, because they simply just don't have the capacity there in Tokyo.
Wow.
Isn't it incredible? We're in 2020. You know, first time I came to Singapore as a tourist, it was the first place I went from Australia overseas. It was 1982. I took Singapore Airlines, arrived at Changi Airport, and, you know, Singapore was so different back then, you know. But what about the trends for 2020, for this new decade and beyond for Singapore tourism?
Well, I think the general sentiment, and this probably extends past travel and tourism, is a cautious optimism. You know, overall, the macro trend is great in the travel industry. So we see double-digit growth in some ASEAN countries. Singapore, it's a bit more of an anemic growth. I think they're a more developed destination. But overall, I'd say a lot of people, you know, feel optimistic that 2020 is going to be a strong year, but you just never know. I think the economic downturn, the political unrest, certain factors like the China-U.S. Trade war, those are all weighing into people's propensity to spend on travel.
So given, you know, the sort of the access to the kind of data that you have and what you've looked at in the data, what do you think Singapore needs to be thinking about over the next decade when it comes to travel and tourism and maintaining this edge that it's had in the region for such a long time?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Singapore has done a phenomenal job, and they really have a talented team there at Singapore Tourism Board, looking at every opportunity to reach every segment of the travel market. So I think that what they've done really well and will continue to do well is segment their travel audience better. So they don't have a one-size-fits-all approach. They're leveraging data to really identify, okay, well, this particular segment from this region or this country, this is when they want to travel, this is what interests them, this is their travel behavior on different platforms. So they've really done a good job of moving away from that one-size-fits-all, that really glossy you know, beach destination image that I think a lot of tourism promotion bodies are still, you know, still using, and they've gotten very granular. And they've used a real wide range of data sets to be able to do that.
So technology, you've touched on it, but what role will that play in developing tourism and encouraging tourism and finding out what travellers want for Singapore and the rest of the ASEAN region?
Yeah, I think that we've gone from just talking about the buzzword of big data to actually being able to process that and leverage that into actionable insights that are making this way into a marketing campaign to drive efficiencies and to drive a higher yield for travel promotion. So I think that especially the role that we play in the industry, we collect data from 220 different travel brands, so the likes of Marriott, Singapore Airlines, and we're able to really understand the traveler on a holistic level. If you look at an individual brand like Singapore Airlines, they only really understand the traveler as they've come through their channels. So if they've transacted with Singapore Airlines, they know something about them. But building their entire strategy around their acquisition, communication, retention strategy around that first-party data is actually quite a limited view of who that traveler is. So kind of the role that we play is bringing that all together and providing a holistic view of that traveler to really enact a more effective marketing strategy.
Just briefly, one thing I'm always fascinated by is who likes Singapore the most? So what's the sort of breakdown of which visitors are we receiving? Who are they? Where do they come from?
And you're from California, from San Francisco. Many Americans drawn here.
Yeah.
You know, I think air connectivity plays a big role. United has direct flight to Singapore. Singapore now has direct flight to San Francisco. You know, Americans love Singapore in terms of high tourism receipts, length of stay. Europeans as well, but more frequent travelers coming from Malaysia, from China, from all second, third tier cities now from China experiencing Singapore for the first time. And I think India is a very big growth market and will be for Singapore going forward.
Well, let's hope that Singapore tourism grows in 2020 after a down year in 2019 and beyond. Many thanks, Matthew Zatto, Vice President of Tourism Asia Pacific at Adara.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.